You don't have to go to that special finance dealer to get approved. At Blue Water Chrysler, no matter what condition your credit is, they'll get you approved. Visit Moran Blue Water Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 24th Avenue in Fort Gratiot or online at MoranBlueWaterCDJR.com.
Ride the wave to savings with us.
All right, a busy morning already up here on Mackinac Island. We are joined right now by U.S. Senate candidate Abdul El-Sayed. Abdul, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Why do you want to be a senator?
Honestly, I knew my grandmother. She was the smartest, wisest person I ever met in my life. Never got to go to school. She was born and raised in mid-century Egypt. She herself had 8 children. 2 of them died before their first birthday. Now, I would see her every summer because my folks, my dad, who's an Egyptian immigrant, my stepmom, who raised me, daughter of the American Revolution from the middle of the state, wanted me to understand how lucky I was to be born and raised in America. So I'd go 15 hours to Egypt, and I'd travel the difference of 10 years in life expectancy. I didn't have to go 15 hours. I could go 15 minutes from where I grew up and travel the same distance into the city of Detroit or city of Pontiac. And I just don't believe that in the richest, most powerful country in the world, those kind of differences should exist. And so I became a doctor to take them on, came to realize that our healthcare system was part of what was making people sick, and realized that we need to build a system where everybody gets the care they need. So we're trying to get money out of politics so we can get more money in your pocket and pass Medicare for All.
Explain how that works then.
So look, right now, we're cutting taxes on billionaires. Think about this. If you tax a billionaire 8% of their wealth, you know what they still are? They're a billionaire. Because their wealth makes them 10% every year. So instead of making $100 million for doing absolutely nothing, they make $20 million. And that $100 million, that $80 million difference, imagine we did that and took that back into investing in healthcare and investing in good schools and investing in infrastructure. The estimate suggests that we could make back trillions of dollars. Now, the other thing we should stop doing is fighting dumb wars that we don't need to fight. $50 billion, and the end outcome is what? We're paying $5 gas? I had to pump my gas on Memorial Day, thinking about the lives we lost, the brave servicemen and women who laid down their lives in this war. And then you think about the end outcome is that we taught the Iranian regime that they could put a chokehold on the Strait of Hormuz, they could choke our energy supply, and that gas is now $5 a gallon. I paid $82.89 to fill up my Jeep. I think that is crazy to me. And so we got our priorities wrong. I want more health care and less war.
Where do you see that war heading right now?
Honestly, nowhere good. And I think part of the problem is he got so excited because the prime minister of a foreign government told him it'd be a good idea. They had clear war aims and we didn't. And now we're months into this and there's no clear way out. And the problem with it is the man can't swallow his own ego and say, yeah, I took us into an illegal, unjustifiable war and it was a bad idea, so let me just put my tail between my legs and come back. The problem now is he's just doubling down. To what end? How many more people are we going to lose? How much more expensive is our gas going to become? How much more power are we going to hand over to the Iranian regime? Because the guy was not smart enough to figure out that this was a bad idea in the first place. I mean, here's the thing about it. Benjamin Netanyahu has been trying to get an American president to fight this war since I've been alive. And he finally found a guy dumb enough to do it. And here we are now.
You talked about health care affordability. What about affordability overall? It's becoming harder and harder for a lot of people to afford the basics.
You're absolutely right. Whether it's groceries or it's gas or it's just taking your family out to a nice meal or it's the ability to afford a home, all of this has become out of reach for folks. And one of the most important things that the government can do is take on the power of monopolies and oligopolies. And what I mean by that is that you've got a few corporations who supply almost everything in every major industry. So let's say you want to buy, you know, you want to buy some nice steak. There are 4 meat packers who account for about 70% of the entire beef industry. And so they just use algorithms to continue to raise prices. Everything only goes in one way. We've dealt with this in the past, right? 100 years ago, you have antitrust policy that exists to break these companies up, and we're just not doing it. And I think we need to give the Federal Trade Commission the power to enforce antitrust policy, and I think we need to make sure that we've got real options in the market. Because if you believe in capitalism, right, which I do, you need options in capitalism. And the problem is these big corporations are squeezing everyone else out.
A lot of people are hearing you this morning saying, well, he's too progressive to be a senator from Michigan.
Look, I'll just say this. Right now, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're taking money from the same corporations who then line up their lobbyists the minute you get elected. And then they tell you what policy they want you to pass, Democrat or Republican. I'm the only candidate in my race who's never taken a dime from a corporation, not DTE, not Blue Cross Blue Shield, not any of them. So if you want somebody who's going to stand up for you to get money out of our politics, put money in your pocket, and guarantee you health care, I'm trying to do that. Now, I don't believe in progressive or left and right. I just know there are a lot of people who are locked out, and I know that there are a lot of people locking them out. And I'd like to be on the side of the folks who feel locked out against the people who are locking them out.
Those lobbyists are awfully powerful, though. It's really hard to stand up to them, isn't it?
They're only powerful if you take their money, and I don't. And so we're running a campaign where we're asking everyday people to give us $5, $10, right? Go onto our website, knock on doors. There's a reason our movement is succeeding right now, and it's because I am just saying I don't think politics should run this way. I think it's the lazy road to take money, a corporate check to the tune of $10,000 or more, to come back and do a corporate lobbyist a favor when you're in power. Those favors are the reason we pay more for everything from groceries to gas to healthcare. And I just don't want to play that game. I didn't get into this to do favors for corporations. I got into this to serve people. It's the reason I became a doctor. It's the reason I'm running for Senate.
What are you hearing from folks as you go knock on doors and go to, you know, coffees and diners and things like that?
So just yesterday, on our way up here, we made a stop in Gaylord. We made a stop in Sheboygan. We had 80 people in Sheboygan at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday, right? 100 people in Gaylord at 4:30 on a Tuesday. And folks are just saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of watching politicians tell me what they're going to do for me only to turn around and stab me in the back. And I had a guy come up to me. He said, you know, I don't like you much. I said, I'm sorry. He said, but I'm going to vote for you. I was like, okay, this is really confusing. He said, I think you really want me to have health care. I said, I really want you to have health care. He's like, I know. I was like, okay, so why don't you like me? He's like, well, you're Muslim. I was like, okay. And the thing about it is I don't need people to like me. Mm-hmm. I need them to like them. And at the end of the day, we can do so much better than what we've got right now. And that's the kind of politics we're trying to build. That's what I'm hearing from people. They're just tired of saying, look, I feel like I'm running harder and harder to get further back. I got to pay more and more and more. I don't even know if my job's going to be there for me tomorrow. That's what I'm hearing. And we're just trying to answer that by saying our politics should not be corrupted by the power of the people who want to pick your pocket. Our politics should be about you. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. My grandparents took a bet on that. And I see that slipping away. And the question for us is, are we willing to think differently about a politics where we just say, no, enough is enough. We're not going to take that money to run the same old play that is selling Michigan out. And we're going to think differently about where we can go.
Obviously, healthcare is important to you. You have a medical background. I got to ask you this because a lot of people will say, why didn't you ask him if he's really a doctor? So, explain, because that's been in the news.
Yep. I have a medical degree from Columbia University. I have a PhD from Oxford University in the UK. The question is, does that make me a doctor? You ask them. The reality of it is I'm not here to defend me, right? I decided in medical school that I wanted to be a part of making the system work for people. And I want to be a part of solving the challenges people face outside of the clinic and hospital because there are too many people who can't get into a clinic or hospital. So I made a decision not to pursue a clinical residency instead, rebuilt Detroit's health department, and then led Wayne County's Department of Health, Human, and Veteran Services. We did things like guarantee every child a free pair of glasses who needed one, took on some of the biggest corporate polluters, put Narcan in vending machines for free in 100 locations in Wayne County, provided free health insurance for new small businesses, and eliminated upwards of $700 million in medical debt. So I'll leave it to the public to decide, is he or is he not? But I will tell you this. It's a funny thing to be told that you're not a doctor by people who don't have a coherent healthcare plan, right? Because at the end of the day, if you want to point at my degrees, go ahead and point at my degrees. But for me, I'm not interested in defending myself. I don't need that. I'm interested in defending people who cannot see a doctor in the first place. And that there is the question. It's not, is Abdul a doctor? You can ask Columbia University about that. It's whether or not you can even see a doctor and who's fighting to make sure that you can. And I always want to be on that side.
What do you think the midterm election looks like nationally? I mean, is Michigan going to elect a Democratic senator? Will other states be electing members of Congress that are Democrats or Republicans? Because you've seen the kind of success Donald Trump has had with his endorsed candidates in primaries around the country right now.
Yeah, what's clear is that Donald Trump has a hold on the Republican primary. That's why Mike Rogers, who is from Florida, decided to spend most of his time at Mar-a-Lago to make sure that Donald Trump was going to give him the big thumbs up. And in return, what Mike Rogers will be is a rubber stamp for Donald Trump's failed policies. There's also the fact that Donald Trump is at, 37% approval right now because he's too busy talking about the drapes in his new ballroom or fighting a war we don't need and our gas prices are through the roof and people are worried about whether or not AI is going to come and take their job. And so I think you're going to see a lot of Democratic success. But my message to my party is this. You cannot continue just to point at him and say, look how bad he is, and expect to win elections. You have to be willing to talk to people about what you're going to do for them. And for me, that means we're going to get money out of politics. We're going to put money in your pocket, and we're going to pass Medicare for All.
How do people connect with your campaign?
I hope that they'll go to abdulforsenate.com. I hope that you'll sign up to volunteer. Come out to one of our events. We go everywhere, talk to everybody. I've been in 90-some different cities, 360 public events. We're going to be coming to a community near you. Come get a yard sign. And then follow us on social media. We try and keep it light, keep it fun.
All right. Appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you, Paul. Thank you so much.
Abdul El-Sayed, candidate for U.S. Senate, with us here on WPHM. Got much more coming up from the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island.